Welcome back to episode 187 of Tall Boy Radio. Now, if you follow us on social media, you'll know this isn't exactly what we have planned for episode 187. But if you do follow us, keep an eye on it. If you weren't following us before, keep an eye on it now. Because hopefully what we have planned for episode 187, we will be doing for episode 188. And we will be live streaming again later in the week. Indeed, it happens. We apologize to any of those of you who Saturday nights we spoil without our beautiful faces being on your screens. Now, there is just two of us tonight as Gaz is away playing golf in Scotland. So I'll say hello to Dave.
Evening all, and I'm pretty sure despite what Adam said, we didn't ruin too many people's Saturday nights by not making an appearance.
Everybody's Saturday nights were ruined, I'm sure of it. So, if you've seen our social media, you'll know that we're planning on doing something called Going Viral tonight. So what we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at some clips which have gone viral, some posts on social media, and some trends which are going viral currently, and just talking about the whole social media concept. It's something that we're fascinated with. Dave's not a big fan of engaging with it. I'm a huge fan of engaging with it, although I have to with the podcast. You're not a big social media fan, are you, Dave?
Personal use. You have to use it for work, but generally no, there's definitely benefits. My mother uses it to see photos and keep in touch with the family in America. It's definitely a positive, and she sees that with other relatives as well, but it's also a negative, and I think it's probably the younger generations that suffer, and the older generations probably benefit.
Quite possibly. So what we're going to be doing first, we're going to take a look at five clips which have gone viral, the people behind it, how they benefited, or in some cases, you know, have they benefited? That is the question. Some people, it's turned out quite costly. So the first one we're going to look at is a clip which was posted in May of 2016. So I'm going to play you a little clip from it. See if you remember this one.
That's not me making that noise. It's the man. Here, listen.
Do you remember that clip, Dave?
I do have a vague memory of something to do with Chewbacca. Was it some woman in a car?
It was. It was a lady from Texas in a car. And she had bought herself a mask and was clearly very happy with that purchase and very entertained by what the mask did. So, yeah, so that lady's name's Candace Payne. Would you have known that?
No.
Age 37, like I say, from Texas. And she described it, as you were saying, it's the simple joys of life. And I think that clip, like I say, for you to be aware of it and not be a huge fan of social media, it means that one definitely did go viral, didn't it?
Yeah, it must have made probably the BBC News website, I would imagine, or somebody else talked about it. My kids, was that 2016, you say, 7 years ago, my kids wouldn't have been on the internet then, so they wouldn't have been watching, you know, what was it on, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, I don't know.
I think it was Facebook Live. She was on Facebook Live, and I think she'd gone live on a Facebook profile, probably just with the intention of sharing with the friends. But ultimately, a whole load of people got to see that clip. So, do you know what that did to sales of those masks? Do you know what the percentage increase of masks was off the back of that clip?
So she bought this mask from a shop.
Yeah, she bought the mask from a shop.
Popped it on, looking at herself in the mirror in the car or whatever, and thought, oh, let's just live stream this. Show my friends, and then just got a fit of giggles, essentially.
Basically, yeah, something as simple as that.
Okay, and it's obviously going to be in the thousands because you imagine that not many of those masks get sold in the first place. So a multiply of small number, quite big, 10,000.
What, 10,000%?
Yeah,
the increase in sales. Yeah, 1.3 million%.
I went for a big number, but that's pretty big.
Yeah,
even if you start at one, that's it. That's an impressive result.
Yeah, they literally sold out everywhere. You know, after that clip, you couldn't find one for love nor money, which is incredible. And the store that she bought it from, okay, the store called Kohl's, they gave her a $2,500 gift card. on the basis of the sales and everything that she generated from them. This is just to thank you for the attention that she brought.
And that was just that one store.
Just one store. Just one store. So this,
never mind the sales that she did sort of nationwide or whatever, worldwide.
Oh, no, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh,
we'll
get to that in a little more.
There is more. There is more. So this is someone who has definitely benefited financially off the back of this. And this is interesting because, like we say, it was just a clip that she had shared on Facebook just for a little bit of fun. Like she said herself, it's the simple joys in life. It was something that gave her pleasure. And I think it gave everybody just a little bit of pleasure in sharing her innocence of that mask. So, like you say, she was also gifted a trip to Disneyland off of the back of that, which you can't really fault, you know, on Memorial Day weekend, and paid $7,500 to be there as well. So not just the trip, she got $7,500 to be there. She got $2,000 to attend a fan expo with Peter Mayhew. Do you know who Peter Mayhew is?
Yeah, he was at Star Wars. Was he played Chewbacca or he Darth Vader? One of the two.
He played Chewbacca. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. And then he was given scholarship money for Southeastern University to the tune of $400,000.
Crikey.
Yeah. So all in all, you know, just in terms of the money she's generated there, that ain't so bad. You're talking the best part of $500,000 she made out of that in terms of money.
Do you know why the university gave her $400,000?
I don't, to be honest with you. No, I don't. But it's obviously some form of scholarship. So it's not going to be something that she necessarily directly benefited from financially. It's not gone into a pocket. But, you know, I guess whatever she benefited from in their respect to that, it's fair play to her, because I think, you know, something just as innocent as that, she's done incredibly well off of that. And like I say, the reason why obviously Disneyland was involved there is because Disney now owns Star Wars, so that she was invited to that and all sorts of launches. But her face is sort of known absolutely everywhere. So in terms of views, in the first couple of days, it got 140 million views. So I think we can definitely class that as going viral.
That is definitely viral. And the thing about, I mean, laughter is infectious by its very nature. So even when you were playing that to me, I was smiling because laughter is just so infectious. So if you couple that with genuine innocence, you can see why people would watch it and it would be amusing. Throw in a Star Wars Chewbacca mask and that just multiplies out again. And you can see why that would go viral. And you can see why all the companies, they're obviously piggybacking on it. They probably genuinely do, like the Kohl's store, probably was genuinely thanking her, but I'm sure there's a lot of others that are just doing it to, you know, to keep the story going. It generates media and press coverage for both parties, so it's win-win in that respect.
Absolutely, yeah. I think you're on the money there. And when you say Star Wars, and you said earlier about people like ourselves with the people who gain from social media, do you think that's part of it, that it is our generation, you know, who grew up with those movies, and the first one came out in 1977. You know, we're bought into that sort of Star Wars franchise. Is it people like us that are benefiting from the joy and experience and that joy, do you think?
I don't know, because you just played the audio, and although I couldn't see the Chewbacca mask, I heard it, and that's pretty unmistakable with Chewie's sounds. So I guess if you never knew what Star Wars was, I don't know, you might just think it's somebody laughing because it's making a funny noise, but I think it's the laughter that more than anything, it could have been anything. It could have been R2-D2. It could have been a penguin, you know, who knows, but a goat making a noise. I think it's the fact that it's just the sheer, innocent, genuine laughter.
Do you know what, by the way, do you know what the character Chewbacca was based on?
Overgrown Ewok.
No, Ewoks aren't real. I'm talking about real life. What did George Lucas base it on?
That monster, that Bigfoot.
Close, his dog. He had a very large dog, which when it stood up on his hind legs, you know, that's what you based the character of Chewbacca on. And that dog's name was?
Chewie.
Indiana. Tying it all in.
It's all the same. It's all his films, isn't it?
It is. So Candace, then, have we heard of her since?
Well, I didn't know the name in the first place. I don't know. Let's hope that, and you're going to tell me, but let's hope nothing bad. She didn't get trolls from it. She wasn't stalked. Her house wasn't attacked. She went off. She did a scholarship, got a steady career out of it, and lived heavily up after. Although that's only 7 years ago.
Yeah. You're not a million miles away, to be fair. It is a positive story, yeah. So she did go to university. She did get her education. And she's written several books, including a book called Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. And that is a book about her experiences in life, where, you know, she'd actually had a fairly troublesome life up to that point, a very difficult, challenging life at times, but yet found joy in something like that. And there, and I think that, like you say, real positive lesson for everybody. And actually, off of the top of that as well, Hasbro, who make some very, very famous toys, made a Candace Payne doll with a mask that you could put on it as well, and gave that to her. I don't know if it's one that's for sale anywhere else, but she does have that rather unique gift to her. And she's gone on and done many things as well. Like, so she actually is. She's taken a step, and she is a podcast host herself for Shut the Shut Up podcast. That makes no sense to me. And yeah, she's written several books, including Simple Joys, Discovering Wonders in Every Day, and Encountering Advent. I don't know what they're about. I've not read any of them, but certainly, yeah, it is a positive story. So that's a good one, isn't it? It's a nice one to start with.
It's definitely a good one to start with. And if we can get through all five like this, who knows? I may change my opinion of social media.
You may. But we're going to move on to the next one. Now, the next one is probably the most famous viral post of all. Do you know how? Can you ever guess what that might be?
It's a photo or a video?
It's a video, a very brief video.
No, I remember one about some young child pulling a funny face because the house is burning down or something.
Oh dear, no. It's a little bit more upbeat than that. So Harry and Charlie Davies Carr of Marlow in Buckinghamshire. Those names ring a bell?
No.
Anybody biting anybody's finger?
No.
You must have heard of Charlie bit my finger in a video.
No.
Seriously?
Yeah. Or why would I?
Why would you? Because it's literally the most famous viral clip on the bloody internet. So basically all it is, two kids sat on a chair. One of them is stupid enough to put his finger inside his little brother's mouth. And he bites it. And literally he says, Charlie bit my finger. So something like that. Do you think that guy thought, I'm going to... Exactly. Thought this video is going to go viral. What the world really needs now is a recalcitrant toddler causing mayhem and biting his elder brother. You know, is that something that went through his mind?
I tell you what went through my mind was, you've been framed. Which for listeners and viewers outside of the UK was a TV show where, or still is. Is it still going? Might still be going.
Probably, yeah.
Where people send in video clips of something going drastically wrong. Normally nobody gets seriously hurt, and it's supposed to be hilariously funny and accidental. And over the years, it just got to the point where they're just staged. So if that's the question, was this one staged? Hard to know, because I don't recall ever seeing it. But did a parent see what was happening and think, I could film this and go viral? It's always possible, isn't it? Because nowadays, people are doing it in seven. Well, what year was this?
So this one goes way, 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 way back to 2007, the 22nd of May, 2007.
All right, okay.
Birthday, if you will.
No, that's a completely different time. That's a completely different era in terms of social media. So maybe then it was innocent. I'd probably lean on the side. It was a genuine innocent thing.
It was. So literally, the guy who filmed it was the father of the two children, Howard. Literally thought, what, to create some videos, share them online so they're there for, you know, for his own memories, just of his kids growing up. But literally, you know, it wasn't something that genuinely happened a lot, like the biting incident. So we shared this clip online, but the idea, obviously, he didn't understand the difference between a private and a public channel, that basically he could then share it, and then the family just literally go on and watch the kids growing up. So it was entirely, entirely innocent. So how many views do you think that's got up to now?
Oh, God, wow. You're getting on for 20 years, aren't you? And if you say, is it the most watched clip on YouTube?
It's not the most watched clip on YouTube, no, because things like, I think, November Rain by Guns N' Roses is over a billion views, and he doesn't have that many.
Okay, let's go for 275 million.
It has 878 million, which for probably a 20-second clip of a child biting another child's finger is absolutely mind-boggling. I don't get the appeal in it, to be honest. I don't find what's so funny about it. There's a little bit of charm. You know, I guess anybody who's got kids can understand and, you know, and feels that a little bit. When, you know, when your kids do stuff you find entertaining, but, you know, most people are thinking, spoil little bastards. But you know what I mean? I'm not suggesting these kids are spoiled. But
they're all grown up. They're all grown up now, aren't they? They're in their 20s.
So. Well, they are, yeah. Well, they are, exactly. So do you think they did well then out of this clip?
Well, I can't remember back then what the monetization was like on the, and whether by the sounds of it, if he put it to public rather than private, whether it, I'm going to say they slapped some adverts on there. They made a load of money anyway, but probably made some sort of celebrity appearances somewhere.
Well, they appeared in a Dolmio advert. Did you know that? So there's a Dolmio advert with the kids in it where they make some joke about buying something or other. I forget. I don't know. But just like you say, for the advertising revenue of that video alone, that got them over £100,000 for that one video, 1 20-second clip of a child biting another child's finger.
That's not bad, is it?
No, it's not. And are you familiar with NFTs?
I am. Non-fungible tokens.
That's the one. That's the one. Is it something you've dabbled in?
No. Absolutely not.
No. Do you think we could make an whatever it is, an NFT of the Tallboy Radio logo?
Well, I'm sure you could. And you might even sell it for 50p or something. But I don't think you're going to be able to retire on it.
No, I fear not. So how much do you think the NFT sold for this of Charlie Bit My Finger?
So the original video clip, presumably. Mm. Oh, somebody's bound to be stupid enough to pay daft money, aren't they? I mean, do they get their rights then to market it and use it and advertise it? Let's say they do. Let's say $300,000.
£500,000.
Okay. Well, depending on the exchange rate, that might be right at some point in time.
Yeah, maybe. It isn't right now, just for the record. But yeah, that's incredible.
Half a million quid.
£500,000.
I wonder if they bought that because, like, you'd buy a Picasso painting because you know that it's very likely to go up in value over time. Or I wonder if they bought it because of the actual revenue it could generate in and of itself.
But how are they doing now, these MVTs? Because I'd seen one where NFTs. Justin Bieber had... Pardon?
What did NFT. I say? NVT.
Yeah, MVT. Oh, dear. My grasp of the alphabet is poor. Even my son corrected me the other day. He asked me to write word broccoli on his pad, and I wrote it on there. And he says, you spelled it wrong. It's got two C's in it. My son's four. So that's quite disappointing that he has better spelling than me. But anyway, yeah. No comments. Are they doing well? Because I read something about Justin Bieber losing a fair bit of money on these NFTs.
I knew what it stood for. I know what they are. And I know that some people buy them, and I think there's something to do with gorillas and bananas, which is one of the popular things. But essentially, it's like anything, isn't it? Well, it's not like anything. The difference between like fine art and collectibles is they're real things, and you can't just produce a load more Picassos. You know, that they're there. What you've got is what you've got. You might occasionally find one in an attic somewhere, but essentially, that's what you've got. NFTs, you know, you can make load more of them. And unless it's something really, truly original, like this kid biting his brother's thumb, which is a moment captured in time, which can't be replicated. You can make other moments in time you could capture, but you can't replicate those. Anything else, whether it be pictures, digital artwork, series of artworks, you can always just make more. And with AI and how easy it is to do things now, people can just send this stuff out. And you just can't imagine how things like that could hold value.
No, and this is the thing, like you say, in terms of the artwork, pretty much all the artwork we use now for the podcast, in terms of like the episodes, if it's not actually featuring a photograph of the guest, it's all AI. So the picture that is used to, if you've clicked on this link to watch it tonight, those folks who have, you will have seen a monkey wearing a coat, and that is created by AI, you know, and we use it a lot, and it's very, very simple to do, and it's effective, like you say. So these folks then, so the folks who like to bite digits, they've made over £1 million off that clip with advertising revenue and the sale of this NFT. So fair play to them. But these folks then, have they employed that money well?
They're 500,000 plus the 100,000 that they earn from advertising revenue.
Over a million all in all.
I'm going to say this is not such a good news story. I'm going to say that it's Benny and the two kids are feckless going around biting people and end up in jail.
Well, there's a video on the internet at the moment featuring a lad who claims to be Charlie walking around a yacht, sitting there playing on his Xbox and basically bragging what a great life he has off of the back of this. That isn't him. That is somebody else pretending to be him. They've created this video again, hopefully with the hope of going viral. But no, this is another good news story. You'll be pleased to know. So Howard, who was an IT consultant, used the money for his four kids' private education. And I think the younger lad now, Charlie, actually has his own gaming channel and is creating revenue off of the back of that. But no, they've all had good private educations off of the back of it. And I'd like to think probably have a little bit to spare. And also, he paid off his mortgage using it and still lives in the same house. So that's another good news story.
Yeah, well, good on him. And I retract my previous comments, but I'm just purely guessing.
No, indeed. Guesswork, it's the art of the podcaster. So moving on to the next clip, one of my favorite clips. And this is two children singing Cher Lloyd. You familiar with Cher Lloyd?
No.
Well, this one went viral for different reasons, so I'm going to play it for you now.
I'm going to sing Cher Lloyd by Cher Lloyd or Rebecca G. Then. And don't forget all the trouble we got.
Why does somebody not know how to flush a toilet after they've had a shit?
What do you mean?
Well, it was fucking one of yours. Disgusting!
So basically, these two very innocent children sat in their room trying to sing a song with their mother with a rather questionable choice of language, decides to burst in. Ask them about their toileting habits. Is that a clip you're familiar with?
Absolutely not, no. And that's one that would, no pun intended, stink of being a setup.
Trust me, it isn't.
It's genuine.
It's genuine, oh, okay. Yeah. It's a genuine clip. It's a genuine clip that Cher Lloyd herself has seen and described it as gold, and she absolutely loves it. So the name of the lady who burst in, it was rather commonly called Lizzie Brash. And there's, like, say, a lady from Scotland, in Edinburgh, to be precise. So do you think that clip has served them well?
Wow. Okay. Well, it's obviously gone viral because it's on this podcast. They may have earned some advertising revenue on it if they knew how to monetize it in that way. It's not exactly got marketing potential in other avenues, I would imagine.
Andres could pick it up.
I'm not sure they could get the benefit from that. It's clearly demonstrating somewhat questionable language in front of, I assume, two young children, and maybe fairly or unfairly, she's probably had quite a bit of stick from do-gooder people, which will see that and assume that she's a bad mother and a terrible person, and probably she's had quite a lot of grief about it.
You are pretty much on the money there. So this is a video. It's had 1.7 million views. So it's not as huge by any stretch of the imagination, but when you think about it, I don't know, if someone were to share your lowest point in parenting and 1.7 million people were to view it, I think you'd be pretty gutted by that, wouldn't you?
You would, and to be honest, that's probably only low because if it's got the swear in, it probably doesn't appear unless you're logged into YouTube, which will massively restrict its audience. But yeah, that's, you know, it's, you know, I know people who swear in front of their kids a lot, but equally their kids I've never heard swear because they know right from wrong, they know it's wrong, even though the parents swear. So in that sense, if that was applied to this woman, you could say, well, fair enough. But indeed, it just doesn't come across good, does it?
It doesn't. So bless her, you're quite right. So this lady, and to be fair, the kids have never been named, so the names of the children aren't known, but I guess if you know the mother, you probably know the children by proxy. But yeah, so she regularly has disgusting yelled at her in the street, etc., or in the supermarket. So yeah, she's made no money off the video, as you would expect, but is unfortunately known for a poor parenting. Thankfully, her kids, who will have grown up a little bit then, because this is from 2013, so we're talking 10 years ago, the kids will be grown up, and their names have never been shared. Just out of interest, Which child do you think did the shit, the elder one or the younger one?
Maybe neither, the husband.
No, it was the younger one. It was the younger one. She did later confess to it. You'll be pleased to know.
Right, okay.
Right, then moving on to one of my... This one I need to add is... It's not a video. It is literally a photograph. I don't know if you will be familiar with this one, but this is basically what the artwork is based upon. It is my favourite story that has ever, ever appeared on social media, bar none, because of my love of monkeys.
Okay.
The IKEA monkey.
No. No. I mean, you're not showing the picture, so I can't see it either.
No, no. Well, maybe let me just see if I can find my phone for your benefit. So, yeah, 17th of December 2015, okay? There's a monkey in Toronto in Canada, and it was obviously the thing is, I've seen America, some places in America and Canada, it is legal to own monkeys.
All right, yeah, okay.
This little fella was in a parking lot in IKEA, in Toronto, and he made good his escape from the car and made his way into IKEA and was pictured staring out of the IKEA doors with his little hand up, wearing a Dalboy coat, a nice sheepskin coat to keep him warm in the weather. So I'm not a fan, I have to say, of monkeys being kept as pets. If the option came up, though, I would be tempted. But this poor little monkey then, what do you think happened off of the back of this rather infamous story?
Yeah, I've just Googled it. I mean, it's, I don't know, because it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because like you, I would, you know, monkeys really, you know, the fact they're in captivity, unless it's, you know, really for good reasons to do with breeding and conservation and those kind of things, it's bad. To be kept pretty much as a pet is bad. To be dressed in that terrible coat is also bad, particularly to IKEA is not helping either. There's not many positives. I can't imagine IKEA jumping on that as a advertising sort of campaign. But then if it's legal to own monkeys and they're not the only one that's doing it, it's quite hard to see locals turning against them either. I don't know. I can't call that one. I'm on the fence on that.
Well, it's an interesting one because it's a Japanese rhesus macaque monkey. Okay. And like you say, the key point is it is legal to own monkeys in America and in Canada, but only in certain parts. One place where it is not legal to own a monkey, just for the record, is Toronto in Canada. So the monkey was confiscated. Mm. It was taken off because it's an illegal pet. It's not something you can do. Primate ownership is not something that is... Interesting enough, and I had to look into this. So in Ontario, which is where Toronto is, the different counties are allowed to set their laws and their policies on not just primate ownership, but general things as well. So it's dictated. So in parts of Toronto, Toronto yourself, you cannot own primate. Other parts of the state, that is absolutely fine to do so. Unfortunately for this lady in question, she unfortunately had one there where it is illegal to keep primates. Now, interesting enough, like I say, I love the story, and I tweeted about it at the time. And rather bizarrely, out of the blue, about a month later, I got a reply off the home that the monkey was in. And they replied to me saying that it was doing well and was no longer wearing the coat, which is another question.
So it was just confiscated from the woman and went to a monkey shelter, basically.
But yeah, it doesn't end there, though. So the thing is about people, you're not a pet owner, but you've owned chickens. Did you become attached to those chickens? Albert, you can answer in the comments.
Not especially. I mean, they all died in a relatively short space of time. Sold quite a lot of eggs, or the kids sold quite a lot of eggs, and then one by one, they pretty much died for various reasons.
Monkey eggs are less popular.
No, not to answer your question. No, but that's because I'm not really a pet person.
Well, she did. So yeah, I think her name was Yasmin Nakuda. Okay, so she was an attorney, and she was fined $240 for owning the monkey in the first place. By the name, it was Darwin, by the way, was the name of the monkey for those who were interested. So yes, he was fined $240 for owning it, but it didn't end there. Like I say, some people get very, very attached to their pets, and she wanted to get it back. So she took it to court and appealed, lost, and that cost her $83,000 in court fees.
Crikey. to get back the monkey that was confiscated because it was illegal.
Yes, basically, so, yeah. And the court refused because on the basis that the animal is a wild animal, it should not be owned.
So far, she's not made any money. Has she been arrested? Did she get anything other than that fine?
Just a fine. I would say it was a misdemeanor, not a felony.
And then she's lost $80,000. That's not worked out well for her.
It's not worked out well for her, no. It hasn't worked out well. So, yeah, so she's out over 80 grand, has made no money out of it, will make no money out of it, I wouldn't imagine anyway. And these monkeys, just for a record, can live up to around about 30 years. Famous for being fairly insecure creatures, so sticking it in a coat and letting it loose in an IKEA car park probably won't have helped. It's pride. I don't monkeys live in pride. That's a pun. I apologize. So what do you think she did about it then? I'll tell you what she did. She moved to Pontypool, Ontario, which does allow the ownership of primates, and she bought herself two monkeys.
Okay, so she got there in the end. The question is, did this go viral, and that's what led to her getting the monkey confiscated? Or would it have just been irrespective of going viral?
Yeah, it was basically the monkey escaped. The viral bit was the monkey escape, which obviously led to it then getting taken into custody. Not custody, but, you know, getting confiscated.
Right. Okay. So it may have happened whether it went viral or not, because somebody at IKEA may have just reported this monkey running around and she got arrested.
Yeah, it was the whole situation. I think it was the coat that really did it as well. It was in his little charming little sheepskin coat. I think that is really what made it go so famous. Were it just a monkey? That's a harsh thing to say, isn't it, really? That's just suppose dressing him up. Let's move on to the final case before we'll start looking at trends at social media in general. So finally, this is one called Man versus Booze, which was a UK thing. Were you familiar with this?
No.
No. So last week on the podcast, we had a gentleman on who was talking about his feats of consuming food. So basically, he was a competitive eater. He ate an incredible amount of food. And that's largely based on, or made famous by, Adam Richman and then later Casey Webb on Man v Food, if you're familiar with that show. Well, based on that, there was a student in the UK based in Leeds who did some impressive, would be one way to do it, downright dangerous feats involving alcohol called Man versus Booze. And he created a series of videos of himself wearing a ski mask and a vest down in dangerous amounts of alcohol. Like I say, this chap, by the way, isn't known. He was thought to be a 20-year-old student at Leeds University. Even that isn't necessarily known, but is believed to be the case. So he did stuff like down in a pint of vodka in 7 seconds. You know, he did something called a rainbow wine challenge. So he downed a bottle of red, a white, and a rosé. He downed a pint of Sambuca. I've seen him do a bottle of Jack Daniels as well. So, first of all, that's not clever, is it?
Well, no, it's just downright stupid, especially if he's drinking it and it's authentic, and that's the first thing to say. If he's already hiding who he is, I mean, is it authentic is the first question. And even if it's authentic, what he's drinking, is it actually cameras following it enough to know that he's then just not making himself sick to get rid of it all? Assuming that none of those are the case and he is actually downloading this alcohol, it's just absolutely irresponsibly stupid. And for what gain if he doesn't even do it for the notoriety?
Well, it is an interesting one. It is a very interesting one. And the reason why I say it's very interesting, because actually in a few weeks' time, we're going to have a beer reviewer on here who does something similar and wears a mask. We'll find out if that's the reason behind it. I do not know. But yeah, so this guy, so he didn't get any notoriety because nobody knew exactly who he was. But yeah, he did have those sort of claims leveled at him, sort of saying, are you actually drinking? So he started doing the cap off in the video so you could hear it being clicked. And it was, you know, so you could see that it was genuine as far as we knew. But yeah, so he was down in these bottles of spirits I'll be honest, I've watched them. I've seen them. They're no longer available. They are all taken down now. But the danger with this is, obviously, you know, you've been a student, I've been a student, and we do, yeah, really, really stupid stuff at times, and dangerous of getting brought into trends as younger people are, like we said earlier about social media. This guy actually generated a lot of copycat guys around different universities, which as you can imagine, is dangerous because, you know, this guy might have a hardy will. And as far as we know, like, let's face it, there was always a bucket there by the side of him. There's a good chance that he did bring it straight back up afterwards. You know, we listened to Dan Killer Kennedy last week, and he doesn't bring it up intentionally, but sometimes it just comes up anyway. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, but you said it there, didn't you? The danger is whether he's doing it legitimately or not, if it leads to people copying him, that's where the danger comes. I mean, make a mess of yourself is one thing, but if you're leading other people to do it, that's just a whole different ball game. And did that happen as reported cases of, did that viral to people copying him and ended up in hospital or dead?
I don't know if anybody necessarily got injured or killed, I don't think, you know, that was necessarily known. However, there will have been, you know, that's the nature of the beast. If you cannot consume that level of alcohol in that amount of time and good things come of it, or at least not bad things come of it, it is going to make you incredibly, incredibly ill. The idea of downing, like, you know, a bucket of Jaeger bombs, probably the most tamest one he did was about 5 pints of Guinness, which still I don't think I could do, to be fair.
This all ended with
a tweet from what was supposedly his roommate sharing a story saying, or sharing a tweet that said, this is his roommate. He's been admitted to hospital after downing 2 pints of absinthe. Please don't anyone try to copy him anymore. It's dangerous. So whether the message got through or whether somebody finally got hold of him and said, dude, this ain't a good idea, I don't know. But this is one of those intriguing ones. And it's one, if I'm going to be really honest, I would like to get the dude on the podcast, whoever he is. If he ever sees this video and you want to reach out, just feel free to wear your mask. You can see here, you know, you don't have to have your identity shown. You can put what you like. Nobody even needs to know. All we need is you can have a burner email address and we'll send you a link out to it. That's not a problem. But I'd like to get him on, just A, to know he's alive and well, and B, just to get his thoughts behind it now that he's... So this was 2012, something like this. Get his thoughts on it 10 years on.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, again, 10 years ago is quite a long time ago with social media and viral stuff. So it would be interesting to know what was going through his mind then, and whether it was just for a laugh or whether he genuinely thought this was some sort of route to riches and fame. But it seems a bit odd if he's going to do it in a mask.
Yeah.
Very odd. But yeah, to get him on and speak to him or anyone that's done something like that, as long as it's not something that's too ridiculous, illegal, then it'd be great to see what goes through their minds to create these sort of things.
Indeed. So, first of all, Ryan from the Pub Time podcast wants to know how long has this man been married? So I think we can all sympathise with this when you've been married a length of time, that maybe that level of alcohol can serve a purpose. So it's interesting, really, when you look at these things, is there any common factors in any of these that we've talked about tonight that's made them go viral, do you think?
Common factors. Well, I don't think there's the different range of ones you mentioned, there's probably isn't a common factor in the sense of why or how they were made for those four or five that you had. Two of them, three of them, I suppose, the monkey, the child, and the laughing woman, I suppose they all poke a part of the brain that is quite similar. They're not, the drinking one, I think, is completely separate. But the laughing one and the baby stuff, and even the monkey, they're all about sort of innocence. And I think that's probably a common thread, something that's you can almost relate to in some way. Not hard to relate to being a monkey in a fur coat, but maybe not that one. Maybe just the first two, the innocence of those two.
Yeah, I wonder with those as well. Maybe part of it plays into the fact that the internet and viral videos or videos then and video sharing was in its infancy when those things sort of really hit home. There was fewer there to choose from now. You know, same as like podcasts. When we first started doing this podcast, I think it was probably 500,000 podcasts you could choose from. Now there's around about 3 million. So with this, people will jump on. And let's face it, we've got no intention of going viral. Or certainly no expectation of going viral with what we do. And we'd be amazed if we ever did. But I think some people, if you can unlock what it is, and people try it, you know what I mean? You see these trends and you see themes to videos where I see a lot of comedians now will do stuff on TikTok and share it on Instagram stories where they're talking to themselves and the other characters dressed up and doing these little comic skits that are very, very brief. And that speaks to, like I say, probably the generation of people who are using social media, that it has to be brief. That, like, Vine was very, very popular, these 7-second clips, because anything longer than 7 seconds, you bought into it. No, I'm skipping on to the next one. I'm skipping on to the next one. So it must be very, very difficult. And I'd be interested to know your thoughts on that. And if you were to try and define it and try and create something, how would you go about it?
Yeah, it's difficult. And I think there's, without an element of spontaneity and genuineness, I think you're on an uphill battle. Because if you're trying to create it artificially, it's not just about being funny. It's not just a comedian saying something that's funny, that people share it because that's funny. Now, that might happen with some comedians and some sketches, but generally speaking, you can't just film something for 3 seconds, think it's funny, and it go viral. There's a difference. There's something that just reaches inside you that makes you smile, or you're shocked. And I don't know if it is just makes you smile or makes you shocked, or maybe a mixture of both, but there's something about it that makes you want to share that with other people. And I don't know if what's feeding into that is, once you know it's viral, I don't know if people that are on social media all the time just instinctively share because it's viral, therefore I must join in and I must share it, and whether it actually becomes less about the value of what you're sharing and more about just the need to do what everyone else is doing, that sort of herd mentality. If everyone else is watching it, I have to watch it. Like, you've just talked about the monkey, and I went to have a look, but it's only because you didn't really have a picture of it. The other ones, am I going to go and look at them after? Well, no, I'm not. But there must be people that, if you say, oh, have you watched that? Some people are going to say, no, not bothered. And other people are going, well, I've got to then. They watch it and they think, well, now I've watched it, I've got to share it, because I've got to validate my decision to watch it and get hooked in. And the way I validate that is telling other people it's worth watching, it's worth spending their time. And it happens a bit like one of these sort of Ponzi pyramid schemes, where everyone's convincing the next ones down the train that if they don't watch it, they're missing out. And actually, the value of it, it could be a smaller and smaller part to the overall sort of popularity.
Well, that's it as well. Now, the other key thing as well at the moment is sharing. So we've talked about it in the past, like Andy, who's a very, very irregular host of this podcast, will regularly send me clips of stuff that he finds amusing on the internet, and I'll do the same for him. I think that's it as well. It's almost like, oh, have a look at this, you know, are you watching this kind of thing? Just quick shout out to Paul Kelly from Seismic Senior podcast as well. He said that Daft Mannequin challenge back in the day when everybody froze mid-party and somebody filmed it amongst them. So actually, I was some of those were actually quite impressive, to be fair, but you're right. For the most part, it was fairly daft. And happy Monday to you too, by the way, Paul. Paul was very kind enough as well to comment on the podcast that we did about travel tips and said, do you remember what he said about taking hip flasks through security?
He said, if you take a hip flask, you are going to be taken in the back.
Yeah, I can tell you for a fact, as somebody who, despite being on that podcast, still thought, I know what I can take my cousin Bo and his wife, who both enjoy a whiskey, to San Antonio, Texas with me. I'm going to take a couple of hip flasks. Completely ignored his advice. And I can tell you now for a fact, you will get you taken over to one side and have your back seized. Yeah, my backside remains intact, you'll be pleased to know. But yeah, in terms of that, yeah, it does. So, you know, point proved. Sometimes the comments on these podcasts can be incredibly useful. That was just exactly one of them, Paul. So,
and you still chose to ignore it.
I still chose to ignore it. And there's a lesson for everybody else out there. I do these things so that you don't have to, just like that fellow who's down in whiskey. So I tell you something. So we've got another comment here that's been shared by a chap by the name of Ian Bethwaite, better known to the world as Bill. Sabotage 4 would go viral. So we've partaken in these stupid ideas ourselves. Dave, do you want to explain what Sabotage 4 is to the good folks listening to the podcast?
I can't remember what Sabotage 4 is.
You were in it.
Was I? Oh, crikey. Well, there was a series of films. Was this just the fourth in the series? Or was it something different? Oh, there you go. So we just, it must have been, I don't know.
Oh, hang on. Did we just do 3? I think we just did 3, actually. Sabotage 4 is probably, yeah, Bill's pitch for the 4th.
Yes, and it would go viral. So, yeah, if we got the old crew together, which must be about 30-ish years ago, maybe 18, 19, something like that, and we all got the old cine cam out, with the old Betamax or VHS, can't remember which, and we made movies, which, you know, were so bad, you could probably imagine them going viral. So, yeah.
Do you think they would have done? If we were to now, Sabotage 1 and 2, just for the record, are missing. Nobody knows where Sabotage 1 and 2 are. I have Sabotage 3 on VHS in my garage. Please don't break in and steal it. But if you do, make sure you put it on YouTube and tag us all in. If we were to get that online, and I've threatened to do it a few times, probably not the best given the character that Gaz plays, and now that he's a teacher, he probably wouldn't necessarily appreciate it. And we're not going to go into detail, but I don't think it would help his career. Let me put it that way. If we were to share those nowadays, do you think they would generate interest, or do you think it's the sort of thing that would gloss on? And what is it that because, you know, what we could share those videos and get nowhere. Somebody else could potentially share them, and bang, people are interested. What is it that captures people's imagination? There's probably 1,000 people out there laughing in a Chewbacca mask if you look for it.
There is, and there's probably an awful lot of teenagers that made videos. But I mean, if you think back to then, we're talking early 90s, the very beginning of the 1990s, we're talking when we made these films. So back then, there was hardly anybody in comparison to now, a tiny percentage, because mobile phones didn't exist and most normal kids weren't filling their time in car chase scenes and filming themselves having fights in fields, which is about the extent of my memory of the films. So given that we recorded it then, the number of contemporaries is going to be quite small. So if you upload it through the TBR platform, you're going to get some views because TBR has some viewers. If I just opened up a channel and threw it up, it's not going to get watched. But if someone like, somebody who's famous and who's 50, if David Beckham, he's about our age, if he suddenly uploaded and said, look what I did when I was 18, which people wouldn't believe because by that point he was quite a successful footballer. But somebody who's famous that said, look what I did, then it probably would go viral because people would think it absolutely ridiculous. And look at that clown, and who'd have thought he'd have gone from that idiot to what he is now?
Yeah. But this lady in the Chewbacca mask, she wasn't famous. She wasn't even trying to get famous. She literally just took joy in a mask. And just quick shout out to Paul. Yeah, it's Tuesday, by the way. I didn't pick up on it either when we wished you a happy Monday and you wished us a happy Monday. But yeah, you're quite right. This lady in the Chewbacca mask, she had no intention. She had no thoughts of going viral. Yet, many, many people picked up upon her joy. And like I said, there's probably many, many joyous clips of people just enjoying something as simple as a Chewbacca mask that makes a noise out there. So what was it about that one video where amongst all the others that you could have watched that made people tap into their imagination?
I don't know. It's very, very difficult. She must have hit the right note at the right time with enough people to get some traction. And that's all I can imagine. Maybe if that had been at 9 o'clock on a Sunday evening rather than 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, I mean, I have no idea when it was, maybe that's a completely different outcome. Maybe if it's one particular friend that watched it, that shared it and got other people watching it, I don't know. There might have been a trigger point that just changed, you know, butterfly wings, the butterfly effect and all of that. It could be one small thing that fired it off in that direction. You should try it with Sabotage 3, but I think it's a bit longer than 3 seconds.
It is. There's also some very, very comfortable moments. Now, listen, guys, I don't want to... If you listen to this, don't start thinking there's something very dark going on here. There isn't. But you know what it's like when you get a couple of lads together, young lads, who've had a few beers, and they start to come out of some things that are deeply, deeply inappropriate and should not head on a public forum. That's Sabotage, basically. That is Sabotage. It's loosely based around the Beastie Boys video for Sabotage, where we played cop. So I played cop Mad Dog Rudini. My brother played cop Coolio Rudini. And we were chasing after Gaz, who was a shell suit kid who was committing some serious crimes. We won't go into, folks, because we don't want anybody to think we find that kind of thing funny, because we don't. And then he was assisted by the fumble kid, which was Dave's character.
I have absolutely no memories other than one scene driving up the road and then going into a field. That's the extent of my memories. The fumble kid. I keep dropping my gun or something.
Yeah, it was. I feared which one you were going to, because there was one that we filmed. Actually, Gaz insisted on being edited out with him and Brooker, who was just called Peanut in it.
Oh dear me.
Yeah, quality. I just find it fascinating that something like that. I just wonder if sometimes it's just sheer dumb luck that the people who can sit here and try and find fame, and you know, there's an argument that people might believe that's what we're trying to do with the podcast. It isn't. We do it just because it's an excuse to sit around and talk about stuff like this and reminisce. And also, when we have a guest on to hear about random stuff and just find out something new, that's why we do it. Generally, you know, if the more people that listen, the better. We're not going to lie. You know, we love it when we get the comments, and we really enjoyed reading all your comments tonight. However, there's no expectation. We're 350-year-old blokes and Andy, and we have no expectation that we're going to go viral. There's no intent for that to happen, and I'd be fairly confident that it will never happen, but it won't stop us doing it, that's for sure.
No, it would need us to do something that's, like, funny.
What are you trying to say?
It ain't going to happen.
No.
And that's not why we do it, because, you know, Jesus, if that's why we were doing it, I think we'd have given up a long time ago.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, we would, because we haven't gone viral. That's fair to say. That is fair to say. Although, my helmet there says, I hope Tallboy Radio goes viral.
It could. Yes. Just need to share it, Albert and Paul. Yeah, and Bill, I mean, we've got record listening numbers. That's where viral starts. If each of our listeners just got three other people to listen, and each of those just got three other people to listen in no time at all, we'll be this time next year, Rodney.
Yeah, we'll be millionaires. You've got your Ponzi scheme going again there, Dave. I'm starting to worry about your business plans. It's got a very pyramid feel about that. And you know, I don't know whether we benefit from Gaz not being here. That can't be the case.
Well, he wouldn't. If he was here, that'd be three, and that'd make a triangle. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true. Works out nicely with the pyramid. So the other thing that we talked about as well, in terms of TikTok as well. What are your thoughts on TikTok?
I my most interaction with TikTok is when one of my children says something like, did you know, and there says something that is just completely bonkers, and I go, did you learn that from TikTok? And I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but more often than not, yes, they did. So my experience is it's just full of absolute nonsense. I mean, you see people in the park, kids with the phones propped up on the floor doing ridiculous dances, and that's a TikTok dance. I don't know if it's got a name or something, but yeah, it's I don't know, it's just utter madness to me. I don't know why people bother.
No, me neither. And in terms of TikTok as well, so Tallboy Radio was on TikTok very, very briefly, because we're on all, you know, we're on all the other social media platforms. And if you follow us, guess what? We're going to follow you back, because we're polite folks like that, because we're very British. So we're on TikTok very, very briefly. And I started following back everybody. Well, like I say, we're 350-year-old guys. And the thing is with TikTok, I think the nature of people will generally follow you to get a follow back tend to be quite young. I didn't feel that comfortable with the idea of following back a whole load of kids as a man with a bald head and a grey beard on the internet. It just felt like it's something I shouldn't be doing. So I took ourselves off TikTok. Don't know if the account's still on there, but certainly it's not one that we use. But you were telling me about some trends that had gone viral on TikTok, hadn't you, that weren't necessarily very positive.
Yes, this is, I guess, more of the darker side, and we perhaps should have started with these or put them in the middle. But there's one recently, literally like a few weeks ago in Southampton, where a TikTok challenge was aimed at teenagers, essentially, because that's most of the audience, to take a paracetamol overdose. And the winner of the challenge was the person that spent the most time in hospital between admission and discharge. And there was a police commissioner who was on the radio talking about it, and it's just absolutely, you know, it's just terrible, absolutely terrible that A, people would put this out as a challenge, and B, that parents, and so parents, that children actually then take part in the challenge. It's worrying, because kids, you know, kids are kids by their own nature, so they don't always make the best decisions, but a lot of kids are, you know, vulnerable and easily led. And it's quite scary to think that children could be just, you know, 1 minute doing a silly dance or watching their favorite celebrity on something completely harmless, pointless but harmless, and the next minute they slide over to this challenge that says, you know, get a box of paracetamol and keep taking them till you pass out and report how long you spent in hospital. I don't know if anybody died. Several people end up in hospital. It doesn't say in the report that I read that anybody died. But I since I mentioned that, I did have a very quick search about similar stuff. And there was one in Milwaukee in America a few years back where the challenge was basically choking yourself. So you basically choke yourself until you pass out. And then somebody is supposed to, you know, let you down. And then you film that and then talk about how it felt after. And there's one tragic case where a 9-year-old girl had put a dog lead around the neck, hung herself up to do this, expecting her 6-year-old brother to be the person to let her down. He couldn't, and nobody was around, and she died. Jeez. So they're just two fairly recent examples of how absolutely appallingly dangerous it can be.
Yeah, that's quite scary, isn't it? And who starts those things is my question. What's your motive? What's the thought process behind that? Because there's nothing to be gained by encouraging people to do that. There's only negative things that can come out of it. Like you say, that poor kid in Milwaukee, it's mind-blowing. You're influencing kids who are very, very, very young, you know. In terms of, I remember a lot of YouTube videos as well. I let my kids watch YouTube Kids. However, there's a number of videos that I've got onto there in the past where there was some weird character that was encouraging you to do stuff. Now, my kids never saw any of that, but I have caught Matilda watching when she was younger, what should have been a fairly innocent Peppa Pig video that somebody had doctored, and like, you know, George pointing a gun at Peppa, and then, you know, it's just some very, very sinister stuff. Don't get me wrong, we grew up in the 70s, so the stuff that we watched was far more sinister, but that's not the point. It was, I just, it's a world I don't understand. I'd much rather live in one which is populated by women laughing at Chewbacca masks than somebody coming up with ideas like this to encourage kids to do crazy, crazy stuff. It absolutely baffles and boggles my mind that anybody would encourage that kind of thing.
It's the extreme to how we started it, isn't it? This innocent laughing that has brought joy to people because that laughter infectious thing. And then this other end, which is just so dark. And as you say, why would you do that? You don't do that thinking nobody's going to get hurt. You know, you do that knowing that people will get hurt. So yeah, no, I don't understand indeed. It either.
And this is, like you say, the power of social media is very, very well known. It's something that we embrace. We're live on social media now as we're talking to you, and we really appreciate the comments, which have all come from social media. So we can decry it as much as we like. Do we have to accept these things as part of the benefits that we get from it?
Oh, yeah. It's inevitable, I'm afraid, because, you know, as much as policy and governments want to police social media, they're just never going to be able to. It's just not possible, just because of the sheer numbers. And the only way you can police it is to effectively to censor it and to restrict people's freedom of speech and to remove people's privacy. That's the only way you could effectively control it. I mean, Bill has just posted these platforms of algorithms take down these horrible videos. I mean, they probably have, but they've got thousands of humans doing it as well. And the difficulty is that they don't want to take down legitimate content or free speech content, even if that means that, you know, harmful stuff goes as well, because they want to protect free speech and the openness of the platforms, particularly people like Elon Musk back at X. You know, he believes very strongly in that. So it's very, very difficult. And I don't see it going away, because as you get into the metaverse, which is going to come along, and that just opens up a whole other world, literally a virtual world where people are going to exist. And that's just another magnitude of frightening for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't share it obviously on here, but we do talk, it's something that gets talked about at work, you know, in terms of how our company is going to be represented in that. So that's, you know, it's very, very interesting. But I'll tell you what is interesting, Dave. Did you know you could get 20% off your order at ollies-ollies.com? And you can get yourself some olives or some pretzels or some chocolate covered pretzels. You can get yourself 20% off if you use the promo code TALLBOYRADIO on ollies-ollies.com, all capitals, all one word, and you have to be based in the UK. We probably don't shout them out often enough as we do on the podcast, but if you watch it, it does go across. It is going across the ticker tape now on the bottom. But yeah, absolutely, head over there. They've been very good to us, and we would like you to go and buy their products. Let's make that go viral. And the only thing that's going to go viral in all likelihood is the panic look in my eyes when we lost you off the podcast and I was suddenly aware I was here by myself talking to people because I was scared that we actually had an audience for once.
Well, you know, what went through my mind was, oh dear, is it Adam that's dropped off and it's just me because I've got to fill for 2 minutes, which is a lot more difficult from this side, I tell you.
No, the way it works, if I drop off, everybody drops off, I believe.
Oh. Good to know.
Yeah. So, folks, thank you very much for listening. Dave, sum it up. What's your final comments on this one?
Oh, final comments. Okay. If you're a social media user, just look for the good stuff. And if it's genuinely funny, laugh and share. But just watch out for stuff that's manipulating you and report anything that looks dangerous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd echo those thoughts. I think they're really important thoughts as well. The world is a very peculiar place. It's made up of some very beautiful people and it's made up of some very ugly things. And we need to be able to give people a right to choose between the two of those, but have the intelligence to know the difference. That's probably what I would think, you know. So it comes from education. So if you've got children, you're concerned about what they're looking at online, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Facebook, whatever. Just have a think about what it is. Educate them. Don't hide it away from them because, you know, I generally find that when you hide stuff away from people, they'll go and seek it out themselves. So be open and have those honest conversations with your kids and let them know the difference because I don't doubt that's something that you do,
Dave. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to educate your kids and, you know, sensible use of social media. You probably can't have blanket bans on kids forever. But pick the right age, make sure they're educated, make sure they're responsible, monitor their usage and be open and honest and transparent and keep it safe.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And thank you for, well, first of all, thank you to Paul, who was born in 1918. Unfortunately, people like Donald Trump use social media to divide people and society. And Bill's final thoughts and beans his face when he had to pay 20 quid for pick and mix. Yeah, I tell you what, dude, he wasn't just my face. There was some choice words uttered as well. I took my kids to the cinema last week and I foolishly let them pick their own pick and mix. They filled the bags, took them to the thing to be weighed, 18 pounds of pick and mix. It absolutely fleeced me for, and I never saw it coming like an idiot that I am. And there, indeed, folks, I'm the person who's policing my kids and what they're using on the internet. So there you go. I can't be trusted, clearly. So with that, we'll wish you a fond farewell, and we will catch you, hopefully, later in the week when we will be talking to a flat earther. Dave, you going to be there for that one? It could be quite late on a Saturday night.
It depends on how late. Is he going to turn up this week?
We hope so. We hope so, because I'd like to. Well, that's one episode I'm desperate to do.
Yeah, it could be. It could be interesting. I want to learn something. That's what I want to learn. I want to learn from that episode. So I might stumble along.
I think there's a lot to be learned. I do think there's a lot to be learned from it. I hope he comes on. He seems very keen. His reasons seem pretty genuine as well for me. So hopefully we'll be doing the Flat Earth episode for 188. So stay tuned, folks. But if not, we'll catch you with something completely different, as we always tend to do.